You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we gather to glorify you, for you alone have the power to save us from sin, death, and the devil. And as we come now, we ask that you fortify us by your word and by the sacrament we will enjoy together. Fortify us for our pilgrim way and our journey here. Encourage us, Lord, now as we come to your word, that we may have a right understanding of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, medicine is a funny thing, meaning the profession of medicine. It's had a lot of missteps along the way. Things that doctors thought were miracle cures and wonderful and were going to save people and change the world turned out to be pure bunk. Around the time of the American Revolution, if you fell overboard off a ship or maybe into the River Thames, off a bridge, and were drowned, and they pulled your body out quickly, and they found you were not breathing, the prescribed treatment for you was tobacco smoke. Tobacco smoke had been used back to the 1600s. They noticed when they put smoke onto things, they tended to die. And so they thought, hey, if somebody's got an infection, we'll let them breathe, that'll kill the infection. However, if you had drowned, you were not breathing. So guess how you got your tobacco smoke? They would strip you naked and you got a tobacco smoke enema. Now you know where the phrase somebody blowing smoke up your mm-hmm comes from. I mean that literally. That's where it comes from. Around the turn of the 1900s, if you had a breathing disorder, they like to treat breathing disorders. They were common. Had consumption or some sort of persistent wasting disease, you would likely be prescribed by your doctor to go to a hot springs for a bath, whether it's Hot Springs, Arkansas, or a bath in England, that kind of place you would go. But as you walked into those hot baths, you would be assaulted by air. Like, air would just come at you and waft over you very intentionally. They were mixing that air and the water you were about to bathe in intentionally with radon. Because they noticed that if they took a little bit of radium and put it near a cancerous tumor, sometimes the tumor would shrink. And the doctors thought, hey, a little seems to be helpful. A lot must be better. And so the same radium that killed Madame Curie and gave her leukemia was being intentionally pumped into your body for health's sake. Of course, we know that to be a horrible misstep, and now we work hard to get all kinds of radon out of our houses, particularly here in the state of Pennsylvania. Today, it makes you wonder what wonderful medical interventions are going to be considered pure quackery 100 years from now, right? I leave that for you to consider. But let me tell you about something that they've been trying to cure since the beginning of time. And the continued pursuit of that cure is changing our world right now. And it's called death. People have been trying to cure death since the beginning of time. Ponce de Leon discovered Florida because he was looking for the fountain of youth, folks. To roll back time and move people further from death, particularly the Queen of Spain. But today, where you're going to find this is in a slightly different sector. Have you heard about, in the news there's been a lot of information about AI. Do you know what this is, right? Artificial intelligence. Do you know why it seems that the robot apocalypse is nearly upon us, according to some pundits? Because a lot of people with a lot of money in Silicon Valley think they can achieve immortality by pushing these neural nets far enough that they can upload their own consciousness into the computers. Ray Kurzweil calls this the singularity, the moment when human beings and machines will merge. And this is what is in part pushing forward this technological juggernaut that now we're worried keeps us out of touch with reality. We don't know whether we're seeing fact or fiction, because now you can go on this afternoon and create a fake video of yourself saying anything you want, folks. This is all for the sake of finding immortality. But whether you're Ponce de Leon or Ray Kurzweil, you're trying to get immortality on your terms, when God has already provided immortality for you on His terms. The serpent is still saying, as he said in the garden, you will be as God, having it your way forever. But God has already provided immortality for us by becoming one of us, by walking where we walk, by living as we live, by suffering as we suffer, by dying as we die, and rising beyond death, where He can never again die, and opening the door for us to do the same through trust in His triumph. And that's what All Saints Sunday is all about. Christ has conquered on our behalf. He is the way that God has provided that deepest desire of the human heart, the desire for eternal life beyond the suffering and difficulty of this life, because death reigns in this life. And not just at the end of it when you take your final breath, whether that be in peace in your sleep or in difficulty on a battlefield. But death reigns in your life everywhere. We have insurance policies. How many thousands of dollars have you spent on insurance policies because death may come for you unexpectedly? Death drives our anxieties to have a reputation that will outlive us. A bank account that will provide for our family when we're gone, or for a favorite cause when we're gone. But God has conquered this thing that has stalked us from the beginning of time. The evidence of that is not just the raising of Lazarus or the raising of Jairus' daughter, but Christ Himself rising from death. And if you're interested in the evidence for that, there is more evidence today than there was during the time of the apostles that Christ in fact has risen from the dead. And this is no false promise offered as an opiate to the people, as Karl Marx said. Rather, it is God's way of curing the disease that has plagued humanity from the time of its rebellion. We gather to remember that. We gather and sing Alleluia, which means praise the Lord, on these days we decorate in white, because the Lamb has triumphed and we can share in His victory. And this is why in the early church, when they came to the altar, when they came to receive communion, they didn't just call it communion. They didn't call it just the Eucharist. They didn't just call it the Lord's Supper. But they called it the medicine of immortality. This is God's treatment for what ails us. And we come and receive with grateful hearts what He has done for us. We receive it in faith, knowing that the blessed are those who trust in Him, who want the righteousness, who hunger and thirst for it, that here we are filled. And the meaning of these passages you've heard today, especially the book of Revelation, is that the judgment will not come until the final one who will come to faith, who will trust in the victory of Christ, has done so. Do not harm until all have been sealed who will be sealed. The last who truly wanted purity of heart, the last who wanted the kingdom of God, the last who were willing to accept meekness. Have you noticed how all of these beatitudes are aimed at the people that the world considers losers? Right? J. Paul Getty said the meek may inherit the earth, but they're not going to get the mineral rights. What the world considers losers, because the world is dominated by sin, death, and the devil, God calls blessed. And those who will receive their blessed status will, in anticipation, feast with him now, and in the end, feast at a banquet that knows no end, shoulder to shoulder with all those who loved and trusted him in time immemorial. When you come for communion today, you will, each of you, be standing shoulder to shoulder with all those who came before you, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, until the light dawns, till our eyes are opened in death to the reality we share with them now, a reality beyond death, a victory that knows no end. Will you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, we thank you that you have done what we cannot do in your Son, Jesus Christ. You have conquered those things which have plagued our footsteps from the time of our rebellion. You have crushed the head of the serpent who beguiled us. And you have opened the door to eternal life. And so we sing with all the saints together, Alleluia. And we ask, Lord, that as we praise you, you would sustain us in faith as we continue the long walk to your kingdom, knowing that when we arrive, we will feast forever. And the character you have formed in us by embracing humility, meekness, peacemaking, courage, righteousness will have made us better fit for your kingdom, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Be thou my best start in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.